Wake up, Atlanta. This is the morning shift. It is April 30th, 2025, and I am Big Papa Squid. He's the All-American national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
She is the leader, the founder of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack, and we are the morning shift. And, guys,
can she go with your old intro, the sports, the radio guru, the sports radio guru?
I don't know if she's up for having guru behind her name. It just kind of sounds like she has, like, a weird man bun, and she's not a man, and she doesn't have a hair bun.
Because so. This is true.
I see what you're kinda, saying.
When I hear guru, I think of, like, have you guys ever seen Grandma's Boy?
Yeah.
You know when they go, when David Spade is, like, the vegan waiter, and he's like, yes. My name is Shiloh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, that's a good point.
That's what I think of a guru.
I can actually vibe with you on that. I think you're right.
Or maybe the boss, Mr. Cheezel, like Kevin Nealon's character.
Yes.
Guys,
good call.
He's like, where do you get your weed from, Mr. Cheezel? I get it from you. Anyways, I love that movie. Guys, I had what was an emergency of one last night. We have it wasn't even an emergency to Amy. This is how I know that it was just something with me. Like, it was something that I was
like
I got
a panic moment.
No, not a panic. I was adding. We have this thing called a baby Breeza,
mm-hmm.
And it's basically a Keurig for baby formula.
Yeah.
So you put
very familiar with this thing.
You put the formula in. Mike, you help me explain if I'm messing this up, but Allie, you put the formula in the top, and then you put some, I guess like distilled water or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And you press how many ounces you want, and you get baby formula.
Bow.
Get a bottle.
Yeah. Don't need
phenomenal.
To warm up the water in the sink at 2 a.m. No need to measure out anything. You know, no need to put the frozen stuff in the in the cup of hot water. You just pow, hit the button.
Yeah.
You're done.
It's pretty amazing. Literally, it's a Keurig for baby bottles.
Yep.
And I'm putting the lid back on because I was adding formula, the powder formula, and it snaps. Like, it not snaps,
uh-oh.
But like it pop. You hear a pop, and there's this little plastic piece on the lid that it slides in to the machine and lets it know that it's locked and loaded, and that's the only way it'll make bottles if that's locked in. That little thing is pushed down from the lid. And I'm like, I'm going to make a bottle at 3 a.m. this morning. Like, I wake up, I'm going to be in a rush. I'm going to be, I'm not a good person when I wake up. Oh, man, what's going on? And so I'm, like, trying to order on Amazon. I'm like, oh, it'll be here by in the morning. But Amazon's not working. I signed on. I couldn't find that particular piece on Amazon. So I go to the website. It's $20. And I go, why are the reviews, like, a one on this part?
Uh-oh.
And it's like, this is our third one. This breaks easy. It broke after our third use. All these people going through it. And then this one guy goes, yeah, it's like my third one, and it took a month to get here. I got pissed off, so I rigged it with toothpicks.
There you go. Maybe a little duct tape thrown in there. Now
and
we're talking.
I go, wait, what? Toothpicks, huh? And the guy goes as far as posting multiple pictures of what it looked like. So I'm tearing my kitchen apart. I mean, just going through it, trying to, like, tear, like, find. I knew that we had the toothpick thing, like, the toothpick holder somewhere in our kitchen, but I didn't know where. And the baby's, pork chop sleeping. She just went to sleep. I'm just tearing it open looking for it. So I found toothpicks. The first go around with a toothpick didn't work. But the second try, I nailed it. So
attaboy.
Now there's a toothpick sticking out of the baby Breeza to make it.
There
work.
You go.
You're Bo MacGyver.
I was in full panic mode, though.
Yeah. The baby is already, letting you rig stuff. Listen, there's another level you hit as a dad in terms of rigging things. Now Dylan's front bumper, he's not a dad yet, but he's been rigging that. I had to call him out on that this morning. But nonetheless, man, bravo to that. You can throw a toothpick in a situation that involves some kind of Keurig, then I think you're doing something.
Yeah, I felt really good afterwards. I was like, I fixed it! Like, screamed. I was so happy. And he's like, that's great. I've ordered another one, though, by the way.
Yeah, ding.
And
ding,
I was like, okay. Well, that's fine. When it gets here, when the toothpick breaks, then we'll go to the new lid.
Yeah, there you go. That works for everybody.
I mean, you know, I was proud. It was just like it was a big moment for me.
You should be proud. That it's always great when you can hack something like that.
Oh, dude, I agree. There's nothing better than that. I never had to do that with mine, but we definitely went through multiple lids with my kids. And look, I almost hacked something yesterday. I unfortunately, I have to admit that I have a battery powered lawnmower. I was cutting my front yard, and I got to about 90% done, and the battery died. And
oh,
I was like,
no.
Dude. So I was like sitting there. I was like, I swear, I was looking at like different like options, like with gum wrappers, and like, how can I rig like a Ryobi battery to stick in this ego thing? I don't know. Like, I definitely looked at a couple YouTube videos. I was like, I'm not letting this little sliver of grass go uncut. But I just did it when it was dark outside. No big deal.
You could have used a weed eater.
Yeah, it was a little too much for that. But yeah, I'm not trying to hack up my yard like that. Come on, man. Yeah,
nah,
Brett
man.
From Level Lawns would be so upset with me.
And real quick, we're going to get to could there be competition with some of the Falcons' young players and the veterans that maybe we think hold their spots? But dude, when I did landscaping and I was a full time landscaper, you figured out how to learn to use the weed eater to blend grass. Like when the mower you're in Bermuda and it would kind of scalp a little bit. You would figure out how to blend it, and it became like kind of second nature. It's one of those deals where you gotta have steady hands. You gotta have steady hands, Michael.
I do not. There's no doubt about that.
Look, get into this real quick because we got some Brave stuff coming up in the next segment, and then at 6:40, I was gonna run through some of the front page stories with us. But Dylan was like, "Hey, I wonder if some of these guys that came in this draft class and undrafted free agents could run with." And maybe challenge some guys that we think have starting positions. And he starts with Xavier Watts and Jordan Fuller. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that I actually have now penciled in Xavier Watts at that spot, personally.
Interesting.
Because I think that there is nothing about what I saw from Jordan Fuller last year that tells me that Xavier Watts can't come in and start right away at safety.
Yeah, dude, I understand what you're saying, and I think I'm a little bit jaded because I've obviously seen these things happen. I don't know, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know where DeMarco Helms is at in his rehab from everything that went on with him last year, but I think he'll be part of that conversation. But look, this is an opportunity for Xavier. I think everybody looks at Xavier Watts and says he can be that guy. I don't know. That's a big step, though, man. Starting day one over a couple guys that have been in the NFL for a few years. And I know that Jordan Fuller's got his questions, but there were a lot of injuries in Carolina. So I don't know if I'm ready to hand the keys over to Xavier Watts at that position just yet. But it's definitely one that I think everybody will be keeping their eye on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. DeMarco Helms, to me, is the guy that's the wild card. Because I don't really – none of us 100% kind of know where he was standing when he got hurt.
Yeah.
It was way too early for all of us. So that one's interesting. This one, I think, is an absolute you're crazy for even asking it, which is Kadarrell Hodge and Nate Nash. And,
yeah.
Excuse me, Nick Nash. No, not even close. Nick Nash will be lucky to make the roster, guys. There is no way to me he comes in here and up and takes over for a guy who literally had a game-winning moment. Who's got more speed, more experience, and you saw that when Michael Penix played and Mooney was out, they had some chemistry late in the season. He's also a Pro Bowl special teams player. And to me, Kadarrell Hodge is cemented in that third wide receiver spot.
Well, and I'm curious, how many rookies last year actually made it onto the roster?
Oof.
Well, you had a couple of draft picks late,
yeah.
Allie, that didn't even make it.
Yeah.
You had a couple of guys late. You know, we obviously know Michael Penix made it.
Yeah.
We obviously know Rook made it. Dorlus made it. Braylon Trice somewhat made it, but went to the,
he was on
the IR.
Loeb did not.
Nope.
I'm trying to go back through my head. And I want to say that maybe J.D. Bertrand was the earliest starter of all of them.
Yeah, probably.
Like, because he had to be at a certain point.
Yeah, and Bertrand definitely was on there. But that's about it. It was really a deep.
Jason McClellan, would you count him or no? I know
no.
he's practice squad mostly.
No, yeah, and he was up and down with the P squad. I'm not counting Jace McClellan making the run. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's there is a little bit of a history situation where you look at it and you can start thinking all you want to about the guys coming in. It's like, I don't remember.
Well, it's – and, Mike, talk about it real quick. You're at such a disadvantage, Allie, because you come in and you're a late draft pick or you're an undrafted free agent. They owe you nothing.
Yeah.
And you've got to beat out sometimes years of successful film and guys that have been in this league and made it in this league, which is really hard to do.
Well, and it'll be difficult even for Jalen Walker, which they will do everything they can to make sure that Jalen Walker or James Pierce are on the field for the first third down. But you look at it, I mean, that's you've seen what 3 years out of Arnold Ebiketie already. You've seen, they signed Leonard Floyd. I mean, like, that's not going to be handed to either one of them either. Although they will be given every opportunity. But to your point, I mean, like, it's never that easy to step into that role and look at these guys and say, he'll just step right in there. Unless you're like a Jalen Walker where you're a top 20 pick, a lot of times there is a and I think Allie brought it up yesterday. It's like drinking water through a fire hose, dude. You're learning so many things the first time you step in that locker room. You're learning – I mean, it ain't just about, let me learn the playbook or the coverages or whatever, or the run game. It's about straight up, where am I going to live? What does this city look like?
Right.
Where can I go eat lunch? Who's my new trainer? What's my relationship like with my teammates? Where's my locker going to be in the preseason? That will be across the parking lot for the Atlanta Falcons rookies. So,
well, am I wrong with some of that, Mike, where you're going to live stuff? That's what an agent comes into play.
No.
And real help.
You are wrong.
I'm wrong. So agents don't even say, hey, I know there's a real estate agent we've used before in the
possibly,
past.
Possibly, yes, if that's what you want. A lot of times, though, it is a guy like, I can't remember what his title was, but Kevin Winston, director of personnel or player development.
Player development, yeah, I think is what
they
call it.
So you'd have a guy like that with the Atlanta Falcons that goes, hey, if you need help, let me know. And they, hey, I can get you, if you're a P squad guy, I'll get you a 20% discount or something off of, anyways, man. A lot more to come on the Atlanta Falcons today. The UDFAs, the position battles. We'll break all that down coming up at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock once again. But we got to talk about the Braves coming up in just a little bit, man. The Braves have a chance to do something today that was once considered unthinkable. We'll tell you what that is and just how they looked yesterday out in the Mile High City. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, Dylon back there beatboxing. On the way in and out of the breaks, man. Appreciate you guys listening to us here on this Wednesday morning. A lot of fun stuff to get to, man, throughout the day. We obviously got NBA playoffs. We'll hit in the front page coming up at the 6:40. More Falcons coverage. I got to talk about the draft, the ratings for the draft because the Shedeur Sanders saga. We'll get to that in the huddle. And Eric Edholm will finish us off today, writer for NFL.com. Before we get to the Braves here in 2 minutes, though, you guys, Allie was making me aware of this viral prompt. I guess we're going to call, I don't know what you call these things, but this scenario that has been presented online, it doesn't sound that difficult to me, Allie, but maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Well, you have to think about it. So it's 100 men versus one gorilla. And the Falcons actually took it one layer further, and they made it 100 Atlanta Falcons versus one gorilla who would win. And I tweeted out, because they came in to practice and started kind of debating between themselves. So if you want to see that video, I tweeted it out from at 929 Morning Shift. But what do you think, Mike? Would it be 100 men or one gorilla that would come out victorious?
Now I'm not saying that a group of 10 are taking down a gorilla. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I have to believe that 50, an NFL roster is taking down a gorilla, dude. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to overstep or act like this is simplistic. But and look, man, I go to the zoo all the time with the kids.
Uh-huh.
Those gorillas are terrifying. Yes, they're much bigger than you realize they are.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude. An NFL football team, and some, nah. That gorilla ain't gonna make it out of that scenario.
There's a lot of strategy going on. Bo, what do you think?
Silverback gorilla is 4 to 9 times stronger than a trained.
You are
human
so quick
male.
On the Google.
They
so
can quick. Tear. They can bend iron bars, dude. So here's the deal. An NFL roster. I mean, I don't know, man. I think an NFL roster would be probably come out on top. But you go find, grab 100 dudes out of a Buc-ee's, and a grill is going to have his way. That's all I'm saying. Like,
the Beer League Softball League just doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, you go to Al Bishop Park in Cobb County and on a Wednesday night when they have the men's softball, and I think that gorilla is going to be walking away maybe with a scratch or two, and that's it. Because, I mean,
he's going to clear the room.
It ain't happening, dog. I'm just telling you.
Oh man!
Because I've watched Planet of the Apes. All right, I mean I've seen what they can, you know, what those movies look like, and I think they're very realistic.
I think the sheer mechanics of it, though, okay, you got 50 dudes. Like, you can't all 50 can't get at the grill at one time,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, what do? You put, you know, one guy puts them in a full Nelson. That ain't gonna work.
Well, that's the thing.
You know
it's gonna
mean?
Look
headlock?
Like
nah.
It's gonna look like a Jason Statham movie at some point.
Yeah, where he just clears the room, like,
yeah,
round in a circle.
Yeah. And it just I don't like 100 squid billies against a gorilla. All right, I'd like 100 Mike Johnsons a little bit better.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, think about. I mean, you know, what if you got a bad knee? You know, the gorilla gets a scouting report. I don't know.
What if he, like, you know, sweeps the leg and then you're just done for? I don't know.
What if he kills you with one punch? Because that could happen.
Well,
too.
Well, that's true. Maybe he just picks you up and throws you. Because I know he could do that.
Yeah, breaks your back.
It's the sheer mechanics.
I think this is all just real quick. I think this is all, like Squidbilly said, this is all just based on who the 100 are. If you have like 100 like professional like wrestlers, and I'm not talking about WWE, I'm talking about I know they're
athletes.
You're
talking about Greco Roman.
I'm talking about like actual wrestlers, like getting actually put you in a full Nelson, got moves like that. Maybe 100 of those guys got a chance, but 100 Joe Blows, nah.
Yeah, if you could somehow fit three on each limb. Each of the gorilla's limbs. If you could fit three people on each limb, I think that's where it starts.
Well, and if you divide up, if you put like 20 guys on one side, 20 guys on another side.
Yeah.
In the front, in the back. But I do want to argue the WWE point real quick, Dylan, because you don't think 100 Roman Reigns could take
down?
Well,
that's fair.
Well, that's true. That's very fair.
There we go.
But to your point, he used to be a football player. He was a college football
there
player.
There we go. Okay.
There you go.
That's true.
I mean, and I'd rather have – I don't – yeah. That's also, too, I mean – George St. Pierre, how quick would he be? Remember the MMA? Give Anderson Silva in there in his prime, 100 of those. I mean, the spider was quick.
100 Stone Cold Steve Austin's.
Well, Stone Cold.
A lot of beer flying.
Stone Cold's all talk.
Stone Cold was more of your beer league softball player on steroids.
Right.
That's the way he, you know, late Stone Cold anyways. Early Stone Cold now. I tell you what, 100 Ric Flairs and that gorilla is going to walk out a champion.
That's a lot of woos.
Yeah, that is
yeah. And a lot
can
of
you
chops.
Imagine the gorilla's chest slap? Can you like just straight up cave your sternum? Just an absolute just oh man, that hurts.
Well,
just thinking about
it. You might break the back of your hand hitting the chest of the gorilla itself.
Yeah, touché.
So I don't know. It's kind of a crazy thing, but I think people underestimate gorillas.
Yeah, they probably
their strength is
probably
their
they
strength,
are terrifying at the zoo, man.
Agility, right. Speed. They're like, you know, can I plug one in at right tackle? Boom.
Yeah. You know? Be nice to have. All right, let's pivot. Let's talk a little bit about the Atlanta Braves. They come away victorious yesterday, 8-2. And the biggest takeaway for me, obviously, AJ Smith-Shawver was quality. But, guys, don't look now. This is the final day of April, and the Braves are 14-15 and are once again today at 3 o'clock playing the worst team in Major League Baseball. Bo, I don't know what you thought about AJ Smith-Shawver last night, but I thought he was freaking dealing.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. And you know what he was doing? You know what do we always talk about? I say, like, my pet peeve is when I watch young pitchers, they don't trust their stuff and they don't throw strikes. He threw 59 pitches last night and 46 of them were strikes. Throw strikes. You know, that is what it is about when you're a young pitcher. Trust your stuff. He had 5 Ks. Only walked one person. Hate the way he went out with the line drive off of his right elbow. But he looked good. The Braves, stat of the day for Allie. The Braves are playing in Coors Field, and they have won 2 games. They're going into the third, and they've yet to hit a home run.
Really?
Is that true? Oh, God, I guess that is true.
I thought for sure a home run had happened.
That actually is insane, dude.
I mean, oh, by the way.
Ding.
This is a home run hitting team.
Yeah.
It's not, and the Rockies have it too. So, this is not a team that doesn't hit home runs in the Braves, and it's kind of how they've gotten themselves out of this, you know, this hole is that they've been able to make some contact with home runs. But, yeah, it's crazy. Well, it is absolutely crazy.
And I don't want to jinx anything, but how much lighter and how much more excited are you to put on the game right now?
Oh, dude, it's not even comparable. Like, I was thinking, you know, we haven't had Austin Dillon on this week, and I'm sure we'll get him soon. But I was thinking these conversations with him about the Atlanta Braves and NASCAR, obviously, because he's a NASCAR driver, but with the Atlanta Braves as well, have been so brutal. And I'm almost like, do I even want to jinx it by going back and talking about it? I mean, the Braves, to your point, Allie, have humbled me in such big ways throughout this month. I got to tell you, like, every time that I think I'm going in on a topic, and I went in on the Heart of the Order the other day, and I was like, dude, you can't have Albies doing what he's doing behind Matt Olson. You need to move some pieces around. Matt Olson, 3-for-5. Ozzie Albies, 2-for-5. Sean Murphy, 2-for-5. Michael Harris gets 3 RBIs. Like, this team that you saw 2 years ago that did it in so many different ways just has a way of humbling you, man. The minute you think you know something about this team, I'm like, dude, it's all home runs. Like, can't manufacture. It's all home runs. They're not playing to contact. And then to Bo's point, you've spent this series and you've won 2 games handily and you haven't hit a home run yet. And they've been playing to contact and they've been doing things a lot better. It's been fun to watch, man. Honestly, and A.J. Smith-Shawver's just – he's a cherry on top right now, well, in terms of that situation.
And some of that proves what I kept trying to, and you and I think both of us were really talking about it, is stop, you know, early in this, early in the season when they go 0-7, everyone's hammering the pitching. And even when they were still 5-13 or something, it just kept hearing about when they went on this tear against the Twins, pitching. And we're just telling you, guys, the pitching is not bad enough that if they could hit, they wouldn't overcome it. If they could hit with runners in scoring position, all that stuff. And you saw that with Bryce Elder. You know, he put 6 with 3 earned. It was a quality start, but still he gave up 3 earned runs in the first inning. And guess what? They won the game. I don't care who it was against. It doesn't matter to me. Go to Friday night against the Diamondbacks, who were, last time I checked,
one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
honestly.
And so, you know, Chris Sale was in that game, and it wasn't like Chris Sale was perfect. He battled. He gave up a few runs, but you won that game 8-2, and you were able to still. You know, Chris Sale went 5 innings with 1 earned, and he pitched out of trouble, but he wasn't phenomenal. But you were able to find it. Grant Holmes wasn't very good Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think he gave up like 5 earned runs, but you won the game because you were able to hit in clutch situations against Diamondbacks. So it's not always this garbage about pitching. Now, yeah, you want to get the pitching figured out as you get late in the season, but right now, if you get timely hitting, you can win in spite of kind of average to bad performances from starting pitching and sometimes even the bullpen.
Yeah, for the most comprehensive coverage of Major League Baseball, turn to our Braves insider, Grant McCauley, every Sunday for From the Diamond on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant will bring you up to date on the latest Braves news with exclusive interviews and analysis you can only get from the Diamond. This week's show is Sunday at 5 p.m., brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today. It's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley this Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We come back, we're going to hit the front page, guys. Absolute pandemonium in Indianapolis right now. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs, and also one of Atlanta's own comes up just a little bit short. Stick with us here. We're going to talk about it on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Woo! Lots of things to get to here on the front page. We got to get through all these NBA playoff games and also a little bit of news surrounding one of our own. Welcome back into the morning shift. Mike, Ali, Bo, Dylon hanging out with you. I want to give a shout-out to Sean Johnson on the Twitter saying shout-out to the Morning Shift. We appreciate you. Thanks for getting at us at 929 Morning Shift for everybody else that wants to follow along. Ali, I'm a little bit disappointed.
I
don't think I'm shocked, but I'm just a little bit disappointed.
I know. We were so close. Our Hawks rookie, Zachary Richichet, came in 2nd for Rookie of the Year. It went to Stephon Castles of the Spurs. But, okay, superpower, finding the silver lining.
Yes.
I mean, Stephon, he is from Covington, so can we kind of call it a hometown award, maybe?
Sure. Yeah, we'll celebrate either way. I love the silver lining. And I don't know, Dylon, how you know you guys feel, but I thought that Richichet lost the opportunity to do this when the minutes began to dwindle. I think he had a great 2025. Obviously, questions before that, before we got to the new year. But when the minutes became limited in certain situations, you know, when he's finishing, like, you know, the playing games for like 13 minutes here and there, I was like, all right, that ship might have sailed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, like you said, Stephon Castle, he was a little bit more consistent than Zachary Sache was. And Reese Sache was consistent as far as giving you around, like, you know, 10 to 13 a night, and then he would explode. But Stephon Castle, I think, was more consistent and had a little bit more production all around than Zachary Sache did. So I'm not going to lie, I do think Stephon Castle is definitely deserving. Reese Sache got close, but I think both have a very, very high ceiling. So sucks for Reese Sache, but good to see, as Ali said, a hometown kid win it.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, do we really think Hawks are going to win any of these awards anyways? Now, if Dyson Daniels doesn't win the most improved, you just know what the national media and what anyone voting thinks of your organization. So I'm bitter on awards these days.
Especially in the NBA, dude.
Yeah.
We're slept on so many times.
The NBA,
so many
times. The NBA is a popularity. It's kind of like the NBA has become the high school teenage girl clique league. Because – you know, the players, the players click up. I mean, Trae Young hasn't been in an All Star on his own merit in how many years? Do we think that a guy that's averaging 24 and 12 when the All Star game happens shouldn't be there on his own merit and not have to be a replacement?
Touché.
Tells you everything right there. The Hawks, you know. Players get shut out of awards. I mean, Dyson Daniels is not the defensive player of the year. Now, I understand. I can make an argument on why that he didn't get it, but let's be real. What he did with the Stills. I mean, if his name was Gary Payton, they'd have handed him the award. It'd have molded it in his likeness.
Named it the Dyson Daniels.
Yeah. So I just think that this is where you're at. The NBA is think about this. Players click up and go places. Whether they want to play with their buddies, and that's how they do it. Whether they think they can win. Yeah, the NBA is the mean girls of the professional sports leagues. I said it.
So is Adam Silver the one with the burn book? Who has the burn book, Bo?
No, Adam No. Adam Silver is Tim Meadows because he's incompetent as a commissioner, just like Tim Meadows was incompetent as a principal.
Interesting.
In that movie. Yeah. I'm not an Adam Silver guy. David Stern made that league. And he helped make the league into what it is with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and David Stern at the helm. They turned the NBA from tape delay finals to one of the greatest leagues in the world. And now I do not like. I mean, who got us the play-in tournament like that? We needed that, Adam Silver. Who got us this mid-season tournament like we needed that, Adam Silver? So nah, I'm not an Adam Silver guy. Sorry.
Well, we got to talk about the Pistons. They beat the Knicks 106-103 in Game 5 to stay alive in the first round series. Cade Cunningham had 24 points and 8 rebounds and 8 assists.
Go ahead,
Dylan.
Oh, I was just going to say that I'm not going to lie. I felt a little proud of the Pistons. Like, they're a team that they could have easily been closed out and packed it in. They were back in New York, and they showed a lot of fight last night. And I think this Pistons team, I talked about this when this series begun. This was a team that could take down New York because they have the physicality that you need to play a New York team and just the physicality overall that you need in the NBA playoffs. They have that guy that you can go give the ball to whenever you need a bucket in Cade Cunningham, and he showed out last night with 28. And they have perimeter shooting with Tim Hardaway Jr., with Malik Beasley. They got a nice guy in the post in Jalen Duran. Tobias Harris is a solid piece. I think the Knicks will close it out in 6, but I would not be surprised at all if the Pistons force a game 7, and then we know anything could happen. But the Pistons are a very good matchup with the Knicks. Again, I think the Knicks have a little too much firepower, but the Pistons, if they're clicking on all cylinders, they could be a team that might cause an upset here.
Wouldn't you love to see it, too? See all the ESPN people just crying about how the Knicks have blown it again. I actually like Mr. Quite Frankly, but the Knicks fandom on those programs up in Connecticut is ridiculous. I'm all for the Pistons. Plus, you know, they hadn't won a playoff game in like 15 years until this series. So,
Well, and the Celtics closed out the Magic yesterday, 120-89 for a 4-1 playoff series win. So Jason Tatum had 35 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, and they're either going to play the New York Knicks or Detroit Pistons in the second round.
The two teams, Allie, that knocked the Hawks out of the play-in when they combined 8-1 in this, 1-8 in this postseason. There was a situation there where Paolo Banchero gets his fifth foul in the third quarter, kind of sent everything. It left me questioning, though, guys, like when Paolo Banchero gets his fifth foul, I'm sitting there going, all that time that Trey was complaining about getting bullied, you know, getting banged around, it could have changed things for the Hawks in that play-in game against the Magic. But nonetheless, man, you get bounced. Banchero's not that guy like you thought he was going into this series. And that's just a good Celtics team, man. They're the defending champs for a reason.
Oh, so you're telling me that some guys get calls and others don't?
Yeah, shocker.
How about that? Some guys get awards and others don't? Okay.
Well, the Nuggets won 131-115 over the Clippers. Jamal Murray had a 43-point outburst. It powered Denver's 131-115 win over the Clippers last night, handed Los Angeles its first back-to-back losses since March 4th.
The Clippers were red hot coming into this series. This has actually been, to me, the best series in the playoffs so far. The game one went into overtime. It was phenomenal. The Nuggets pulled it out. And then they get Westbrook gets hurt, and they all these injuries start piling up for the Nuggets, and you're like, hey, wait, what? And then they're down 2-1. They've won two straight, as you said, Allie. It's been a very good series because one of the hotter teams coming in, and you know, one of the teams that's best suited for a run. But I'm loving it. There was the highlight of last night is. And it was on the Twitter account Brick Center. Is Ben Simmons like tries to back down Jokic, and he has a great back down turnaround move, and then he throws it about 3 feet short from only 6 feet away. So it's that was pretty much that for Ben Simmons' career. But what a good series this has been. I want the Nuggets to win, but I kind of hope it goes seven.
Well, and we got to talk about the game you're seeing on all the highlight reels this morning. The Pacers won over the Bucks 119-118 for a 4-1 series victory. Tyrese Halliburton finished with 26 points, 10 assists. But the weird, ugly moment that is getting some attention from this game is Tyrese Halliburton's father, John. He sparked some chaos when he ran onto the court, started having a very heated conversation with Giannis, kind of awkward with the height difference if you look at this. So I want to hear from Giannis and his take on this situation.
I believe like being humble in victory, that's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't. Okay, and that doesn't say anything. I'm not trying to minimize their effort. But losing a game, emotions run high, having a fan, which at the moment I thought he was a fan, but then I realized he was Tyrese's son, which I love. Tyrese, I think he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This the F we do. This... I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
Well, and of course, Tyrese had to speak about the incident with his father as well.
You know, as far as the incident between Giannis and my pops, I had no idea it happened until I got to the back and was showed the video. I think it's the emotions of the game just got excited there. But I talked with him. I'll talk with Giannis eventually about it. Just, you know, I don't think that my pops was in the right at all there, and unfortunate, you know, what happened in the end there. But I mean, this series was a lot of war of words, a lot of war of antics, a lot of stuff going back and forth, and that's just part of, you know, this rivalry and what we've built here over the last couple of years. And you know, it's unfortunate what happened there, but I think it's just competition. And as far as my pops, again, I don't agree what happened there. We'll have a conversation. You know, everybody's grown men, and you know, we'll just go from there.
Yeah, we'll have a conversation. I'm glad he wore it, but this is insane. Like, this is another level of insanity. All the camera angles and everything else, guys. And like, I'm watching this morning, going, no way did this happen last night, man. It's craziness.
Well, Mike, we know what should happen. I mean, Halliburton should be suspended, right? He's clearly responsible for what his dad did. right?
I mean, that's kind of there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Jeff Ulbrich should be fired and suspended then for what his kid did, then clearly Halliburton should be responsible for giving his dad tickets and access that close to the court. And I'm kidding. That I love the way Halliburton responded. I actually love the way Giannis responded, because Giannis didn't back down, but when he went to the press conference, he didn't go after Halliburton. He didn't blame Halliburton. He understood who was at fault there. It's kind of how adults handle situations. I agree with Halliburton. I think he will have a conversation, but it's egregious. Dude, I wonder, the first thing I think of is, did Halliburton's dad maybe been throwing back a few? Is he a little bit, you know, wound up, so to speak, down there after, you know, had a throwback about 7 or 8 cold beers, and then maybe goes down there and decides to run his yapper?
Maybe
it's unacceptable, though. He should no longer be allowed to sit down that low for the rest of the playoffs. I think he needs to be in a suite from now on.
Yeah. Bo, I was literally about to make the same point you just did about maybe Halliburton's dad got a little too loose. He was drinking that oil a little bit too much.
Feeling the vibes,
he was
baby.
Feeling the vibes a little bit too much, especially after winning overtime. And you know, the Pacers were down like what, 7? They were down 7 with like less than 40 seconds to go. So yeah, like we've all said, emotions ran too high for Halliburton's dad. It's inexcusable, but both players at the end of the day, they handled it with grace.
It's just funny, man, because there is a certain sector of dads in the NBA that. Not overstep the bounds. It's just funny because I don't think in any other sport where you like know the names of like multiple stars' dads, right? Yeah, and I think that when you look at it and you look, I mean, obviously we've talked about Trey and Jason Tatum's pops. You know, there's been some things out there with Ja Morant's dad. Like, you know, dads in the NBA. It's just crazy to see Halliburton's dad stepping in the face of one of the best players of this generation and a former MVP and a former champion and get in his face like that at the game. I still can't believe it.
Remember Josh Smith when he played for the Hawks back in the day? And he was from the Atlanta area. I think he played in like Powder Springs or something. I think he might have went to McEachern for a year. His dad used to sit there and be like, shoot it, shawty. Shoot it every time Josh would get the ball. And you could hear it. You could hear it. And it was hilarious. But look, man, it's NBA is the easiest to me, the easiest sport where you can kind of hear them and see them because of the way the arena is played. But it's all sports.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more stuff coming out now with the Shador stuff where Deion is starting to get a little bit of blame for the fall and that he was over involved and they should have had an agent. So it's all sports. It's just the easiest to be recognized is in the NBA to me.
Yeah. Look, this is a perfect opportunity for a wake-up call. I want to talk to you at 8 o'clock today. We'll have the phone lines open. We'll get the Twitter going. When is the time you as a parent overstepped, or maybe your own parent overstepped their boundaries? That'll be part of the wake-up call today. Look, we got to go to break, man. It's been a fun show already. We're already heading into hour number 2, so make sure you stick with us when we come back. Realistically, how many new starters do you see on this defense? Post-draft, post-undrafted free agents. Realistically, how many new starters do you see on this Falcons defense? Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.